Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have a very full service this morning. Between the reception of new members and communion later on, one of our choir members suggested to me before worship that I keep it short. That's not unreasonable. Now, looking at this passage from Mark, which of course is the shortest and punchiest of the Gospels, you might wonder just what is going on. Why are we paying so much attention here to Simon's mother? And you'll remember that Simon is the one known as Peter. This story is part of a larger unit, and we read the beginning last week when Jesus was preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And now, after worship, Jesus has sought out Peter's mother. And she's in bed with a fever. Now, we know from the Greek that it was a fever, not that she was possessed, but she was sick. And I have no idea as to what Peter's mother thought when her son and these people he was traveling around with came into her house. And then one of them decided to reach out and lift her up. Think about that. Unexpected visitors. Now, of course, Jesus lifted her up and she's cured. And what's the first thing she does? She gets up and she takes care of her guests. Now, if you want to use some feminist reading for this passage, you're welcome to do that. I do not think that is what this passage is telling us. We can define all sorts of ways that people did not treat women fairly in the past, and frankly, we can do it in the present. This passage, instead, is how about one individual responded to Jesus' grace and blessing. And Simon Peter's mother was to engage in discipleship. She served. That's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus has called all of his followers to do. So think about that. Is your response when someone does something nice to you to say, okay, I'd like to go do something nice for someone else? Or do you think, no, that was due me? And then just take care of your own needs. I know one of the nicest things that happens to me on an occasional basis is when I pull up at the Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee in the morning, and I'm told that I do not owe them anything because the person in the car ahead of me has taken care of my order. And I've had that experience at toll booths. Strangers have paid my toll. People who do not know me, people who do not know what I look like, they do not know what I do, they don't know who I vote for. They just wanted to do something nice. That's really not that much to ask of folks, to just treat their neighbors kindly. But it happens rarely enough that it sticks out. So this morning, we welcome new members to the congregation, and I'm not going to say that to two of you that now we are going to ask you to do everything. We're going to ask all of you to do everything. I don't see people rising from their pews and rushing up and saying, sign me up. But I hope you're feeling that inside your hearts. That is what the Christian church is all about. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again, but the church is not about wagging a finger in someone's face and saying, you are wrong. You've messed up. Do it my way. That's what humans like to do, but that is not what the church is for. Maren Percy, the former dean at Christ Church College in Oxford, has noted that the church is not a place for recovered sinners. Because if it were, it would be awfully empty. Each and every one of us is a sinner. All of us have fallen. Not some of us, not those people on the other side of the sanctuary, but you and me, we have all fallen. And guess what? Jesus still cares about us. Jesus still cares about us. And that's a really big deal. So before worship, someone asked me how I was doing today. And I said, fine, although that was a more existential question. I'm tired this morning. I can go through a litany of woes. But by and large, things are okay. And one of the reasons they're okay is because all of you. I look forward to seeing you every week. I look forward to your presence. I look forward to the bell that Jeff rings for us week in and week out. And it is loud. If you've not walked up the path when that bell is ringing, you have not heard a bell ring. I thank Barb, who so methodically cleans our sanctuary. She was out here at the vacuum cleaner last week. Again, this stuff doesn't take care of itself. It happens because you do it. I thank Linda for being our senior deacon, for being part of liturgy this morning, for representing the congregation. This stuff doesn't take care of itself. So yes, I'm beginning to wind into my annual meeting Sunday sermon here. Actually, I'll save that for next week, because we can still recruit you to offices before the meeting takes place. But why are you here at church? Honestly, why are you here? What has spoken to you? What about this community has drawn you in? Now, I know many of you can go to churches in other places. And I'm glad you don't. I'm glad you're here. But this town has lots of churches, different denominational flavors, different theologies to offer. But something about First Congregational Church has spoken to each of you. And I thank God that you were listening. I thank God that you were all here. So there's a sort of trite throwaway phrase that many UCC churches like to use, and some other mainline churches too, which is, wherever you are in life's journey, you're welcome here. It's true. Wherever you are welcome here. No one is going to ask you any questions about the state of your faith. You may have it all figured out. You may wonder what on earth is going on. You may be somewhere along that spectrum. You may be at both ends of that spectrum. You are still welcome. So one of the fears I have about being a preacher is that I might be the last generation doing this. Now you're all thinking, wait a minute, the church has always been here. But the church won't be here if we don't give it life. We need to draw more people in. We need to share the love of God with our neighbors. And I don't want to be the last generation of Christian preacher. That doesn't mean I want my kid to become a preacher. But if that's what he was called to do, God bless him. Each and every one of us is called to make disciples. Think about that. Have you ever thought of that as your vocation, to make disciples? I don't see any hands going up. But it's something to think about. And it's something to do. And it's something for which we should all be grateful. If you're ever having any self-esteem issues, wondering whether you're good enough, remember that God thought you were good enough to entrust with the future of the church. That's a pretty big assignment. And God isn't asking the person next to you to do that. God is asking you to do that. And if you don't feel worthy, remember the disciples, who are not exactly the most impressive group of people in ancient literature. Think of what Jesus must have thought after he left Simon's house. Do you think his first thought was, yeah, that guy Peter, which is what I'm going to name, he's going to be the rock on which I'm going to build the church. Well, that morning, he didn't seem to be present. Jesus had to take care of his mother. And his mother saw what Jesus was up to. Now, we know that the disciples are going to have trouble figuring out what Jesus is all about. And they are not going to get it. Not until after he has been crucified and been buried and risen again. And then once again, it's the women who have to point out what has happened to them. It's okay to be slow about this. God works with us. God has patience. God loves us. Let's love one another. Let's treat one another with the grace and kindness and care that Jesus showed Peter's mother. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture. We thank you for the examples of faithfulness that have been set before us throughout the years. And we ask that we might do well and follow the examples of those saints who have come before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.